Good morning, Davisville. My name is Linda Cranmer, and I am part of the Global Outreach team here at Davisville. This morning, I have the privilege of introducing our speakers, Pat and Jeannie Hartsfield. They have been with World Team in Cambodia since 2006, and right now they're stepping into new roles. Pat will be the Asia Area Director, and Jeannie is now the Global Member Care Coordinator. We're really excited to have them share this morning, and if you haven't had a chance to meet them yet, please come back this afternoon for the luncheon that we're holding for them. So please join me this morning and give them a warm welcome.
Good morning, Davisville. We are so excited to be here because this is our home body. This is our church. You're our people. There's probably a lot of you that don't know who we are, but this church has been a big part of our journey, our story, well over 25 years, really. But over 15 years ago, our journey towards the mission field started right here in this body, partly because of great community and the fact that just what Liz was talking to us about, being in community with others who sharpen you, who encourage you, who challenge you to use your gifts to serve the Lord. And so our story is quite long, and I'm not going to get into that today, but the point being that we feel like we're coming home. So it's really exciting for us to be here and share with you this morning. I mentioned that our journey started over 15 years ago, and our family looked a little bit like this back then. These are our three children, Hannah, Seth, and Luke. At the time, we were kind of doing our thing here and living life, and the Lord challenged us to consider something different. So they were about 8, 6, and 3, maybe, in that picture. But today, they look a little bit different. We have been in Cambodia over 13 years now, and they've grown up in that time. And now, Hannah is actually was here for the past year in this community, in this body, graduated from university last May and is starting a new job in Newark, New Jersey next month. So she's pretty excited about that. Our son Seth, who is all the way on the left, is living in Lynchburg, Virginia, doing an internship this summer and getting ready to finish up his senior year at Liberty University studying business. And then our youngest and the tallest one in the group is Luke. He just finished high school, and he's going to be starting at Virginia Tech, studying biomedical engineering. Go Hokies. Got to get that in there somewhere. So at this point in our journey, we'll be going back to Cambodia, just the two of us, for the first time, looking a little bit like this. And we, as Linda told you, we have started new roles within World Team with our mission. We've been living and ministering in Cambodia for over 13 years with just some great people there. And we will remain in Cambodia, but our roles and our jobs are changing a bit. Well, Pat will share a little bit about that, sure. But we'll be sharing more at the luncheon downstairs as well. So again, just thank you so much for your love and care and support, your prayers for us and our family. We're back about every 2 to 3 years, and it's just always exciting to reconnect with people and hear how the Lord's working in your lives as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks. I don't need that. Good morning. Always, I'll reiterate what Jeannie said, always a pleasure to come back home and be with family. And it is, I said it last time we were here, it's exciting when I come and I don't recognize people as much. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're getting old. You're like me. We don't age. I understand that. But kids start to grow up, and I don't recognize them anymore, and there's lots of new faces. Davisville is an exciting place to be. It has had a huge impact on our lives, as you can imagine. And some of you have walked this whole journey with us. And I'll give a plug for life groups, because it wasn't life groups back 20 years ago when we started, but we had a group that we were a part of 20-plus years ago, and I see some of you up there. They have had a huge impact on us being in Cambodia because we got to live life together. We take that for granted, but it truly happens. And so we were actually, can you imagine, we've been on the field for 15 years. We stored stuff when we left, and just this time it stored at my in-laws. We went through all of our stuff that we stored 15 years ago. And as we went through it, we're coming up with pictures, and our small group went to the Poconos early on. We didn't have any kids back then, and we looked exactly the same 15 years ago as we do today. It was amazing to go through that. So just a plug, 2 years ago we were here for a full year and got the opportunity to lead one of those life groups. We got to share with them yesterday an afternoon picnic, and they're just dear friends of ours now because we got to live life together. So that one was free. That wasn't on my agenda to talk about life groups, but they've had such an impact on us. I want to encourage you this fall to make sure that that's a priority for you in ministry. Jeannie mentioned that we've started new roles. We have been a part of a church planning team in Cambodia that you sent. We were asked to be a part of field leadership in 2011 and served in that role for 7 years. And just this last February, we've released those reins of field leadership to Jim Gabriels, who you know. And I bring greetings from the Gabriels, the Vosters, Chelsea. Who am I missing? Joel? What? Joel's here. You don't know Joel. Anyways, we are excited about what God is doing with our change, but there's some intimidation in that as well, because I've moved from field leadership, which is it became a comfortable place. When I first took over that role and I shared here, that was a bit of a challenge. But I had been in medical management for a number of years. When I was here, I worked for NovaCare. Many of you see their signs all over the place, their occupational medicine division. I managed offices for them for 11, 12 years before we got the call to go to the mission field. So that aspect there was okay. When God said, I want to change something, I want to adjust something, I remember Jeannie asking me probably 2 years ago, she said, you know, we were in the middle of field director role and didn't think that we would be anyplace else. And she says, what do you think about the Asia area director role? And in my mind, I thought, I don't think so. It doesn't really fit me as a person. I consider myself, my giftings are more pastoral, not necessarily a visionary. This role requires you to be more of a visionary as opposed to somebody who's kind of, I'm more day-to-day problem-solving type of situation. So I said, I don't think so. Matter of fact, I said no. That wouldn't be a part of what God would use me for. And so I shut that door in my mind. I shut that door. Obviously, God had other things, and I'm now the Asia Area Director for World Team Cambodia. My responsibilities now include, in addition to Cambodia, I oversee the Philippines, our teams in the Philippines. We have roughly 25 to 30 adults in the Philippines, in Indonesia, also Singapore, Taiwan, and we're looking to open some new areas in Asia, and I'll share a little bit about that in just a minute. Jeannie is starting a new role as well, and I'll share really briefly about that, and then I want to dive into the word. But she's become the global member care coordinator, and if I could sum up her role in a nutshell, it would be to make sure that we have healthy missionaries on the field. If I had a one-sentence job description. But missionary life is not the easiest life, and I'm going to challenge you that missionaries may be for you today, but it's not because it's an easy life, but the scriptures that we read don't promise an easy life when we decide to follow Christ. We do have a hope that we live for, and in the midst of those struggles, we know that we have a hope that we have, but it doesn't mean the life that we live is necessarily easy. So part of her role is making sure that we have healthy missionaries. So just as in a quick example of how she views her role or what that role would look like, as a missionary, here is our we're comfortable in our own cultures, because we understand our culture, and we're very comfortable in this. So when things happen, difficulties happen, our emotional scale will go up, but if you look at a scale of 10, and 10 being I'm need to be, you know, committed to a place, and zero being no stress. The mission, you know, our home life is, you know, a two or three. We function in that regularly because we have stress in our everyday lives. When something happens, that stress level may bump up to a five or six, or maybe even a seven if it's something really serious. You know, major illnesses, death in the family, children issues. It could be quite serious. We bump up pretty high. On the mission field, because we're living in a different culture, we're functioning in a different language, we function at a normal level that's typically higher. So where we may function at a two or a three, we typically, as missionaries, and as you pray for missionaries, their normal functioning will be at a four or five or maybe a six. So when things do happen on the mission field, you can imagine it kicks it up to an eight or a nine because of the lack of familiarity with their culture. Jeannie's role, that became longer than I wanted it to. Is to make sure when you come to the mission field, is to make sure that you're healthy. And so she's providing opportunities for our missionaries around the world to make sure they're healthy, get to the field healthy, and if there are challenges that she's reaching out and helping them. This journey that we've been on it's been a cycle, very similar to the example I shared when Jeannie asked me, well, what about the Asia area director role? And I said, I don't think I can do that. That's not for me. That was the same thing that we said 15 years ago when the church said, hey, you know, Pat and Jeannie, would you be interested in missions? And we said, yeah, right. Because it was never in our wheelhouse. We never thought that missions would be a part of what we wanted to do. And, you know, obviously God has other things for us. We were living that American dream. We had the house, we had the kids, and I could never do that. That was just the mentality that I came away with. That's not unusual to what we hear whenever we come back. So if I'm telling, particularly somebody that I haven't met before, if I'm telling somebody, hey, we live on the mission field, we're missionaries in Cambodia, what do you think the normal response is going to be? You can call it out. I could never do that. Thank you, Lynn. That's oftentimes, if not the number one answer, it's close to it. Oftentimes what I hear is, great, so happy that, you know, you're doing your work, and I could never do that. So the message today is going to weave our story in a little bit, but I'm gonna push back a little bit on that. Because some of you are nodding your head saying, I could never do that. And I understand the mission field is not for everyone. And I'm not saying everyone should be on the mission field. We all should be on mission. We don't all get called to the mission field in a foreign country. That was our call. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 11 this morning. And let me give you a little background and then we'll talk about this passage as it relates to that mentality of I could never do that. And it turns out we're in good company. This is the story of the Israelites and Moses. And believe it or not, Moses had that I could never do that mentality multiple times. We're going to talk about one of those this morning. But then we find the Israelites in chapter 11, probably oftentimes where we are when it comes to situations where God's asking us to do something beyond ourselves. So the Israelites have exited Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. It's very important because the Lord parted the sea. Very interesting. They're walking through the desert, and God is guiding them by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. They complained a while ago, and God said, we don't have anything to eat. And so he sent manna from heaven. And so this has been where they are. And they find themselves in the desert at this point. And the chapter 11 opens with the people complaining. And they're complaining. They're going, ah, you know what complaining sounds like. Our kids, I can still remember when our kids would go, stop whining. Stop whining. We do it all the time. And the Israelites are whining at this point. And they're saying, oh, I wish we were back in Egypt where we had those nice cucumbers and leeks and fish and meat. And so they're complaining because they don't have meat. All they're eating are donuts for breakfast, in a sense. I know everyone's going, really? And they're complaining about that? I don't know exactly what they did, but they took the manna that fell each day and they baked it. And it would, I think one of the things that I read, it described it as honey cakes. But they're eating a donut every day. You know, that's part of their, and I guess they're keeping their weight down. I guess, I don't know. I can't imagine eating donuts every day. But they get to this place and they're going, wait a second, we're just eating all this stuff. And we want some meat to eat. And that's where we picked this up, because they're complaining about not having any meat. And then Moses has a little breakdown as well. And he goes, Lord, just kill me. You called me to lead these people, and all they're doing is complaining about everything. He said, just take me out. It would be much easier if I wasn't here. And there's some great leadership principles in that, both for those of us who are leaders and those of us who are followers, whether you're in a church, the mission field, or a company. We're not going to go there today. That's a different message. But let's start in verse 18. I'm going to read all the way down to 24, and then we'll talk through it a little bit. Verse 18 says this, tell the people, consecrate yourselves. And this is the Lord talking to Moses. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. Oh, if only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat. It's important how you read that little sentence, by the way, because this is not a blessing. And you'll pick that up in just a second. It says, now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat. And it sounds, oh, that's exciting. Or if you read it, now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat. It all depends on how you read it. You will not just eat for a day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month. And you could actually be excited, oh, God's going to provide meat for us every day. Until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. So you're actually, it's going to make you sick. You want meat? I got meat for you. So again, this is not a blessing from God. It's a curse in the midst of a blessing. You know, that first day they had it, this is awesome. Didn't last very long. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, very important by the way, and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Verse 21, and verse 21 through 24 is where we'll spend the bulk of our time. But Moses said, here I am among 6,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? So number one is Moses is complaining as well. He's got an attitude that says, I could never do that. I've got 600,000 men on foot, and God says, you call them together, I'm going to give them some meat. And he starts to see things through his own eyes instead of through the eyes of Christ, through God's eyes. And he says, I could never do that. I've got a million plus people walking around here, and you want me to give them meat. He says, that's impossible. How did God answer him? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not I will say what I will say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 other elders and had them stand around the tent. So Moses had, I could never do that. He says, I could never feed this many people. And Moses was right, by the way. Same thing with being a call to the missions or taking a step out of our comfort zone when we say, I could never do that. That's actually a very true statement because I can't go to the mission field. I can't take that next step. I could never join a life group because it puts me in too close proximity with people, and then they get to know me too well. Whatever that is for you, there's I could never do that mentality, and Moses had that. He's saying, what you're asking of me is impossible. But as the scriptures say, we know that nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't mean, by the way, the impossibleness of God doesn't mean that he is at our beck and call to do our bidding for us. It means that when we are yielded to him as followers of Jesus Christ, and we say, whatever, Lord, if you're going to call me to be the area director, then I'm going to trust with all my heart that you're going to empower me and gift me and give me the skills and abilities I need to be able to accomplish that. If I'm trying to do it on my own, I can't do it. But I can do all things through God, through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe it's like this for some of us as we think of stepping out of our comfort zones into places that we've never been. You want me to talk to whom? You know, last week, Pastor Matt's talking about hospitality. What does it mean to be hospitable? Great session last week on what it means to be hospitable. But it's easy if I'm talking to Mark and he is, I know him. So I can invite him over and say, hey, come over. Let's sit down and have a meal together. What if I walk up to somebody and they're in full Muslim garb? Am I willing to do that same thing that I do with Mark? What about you? What if it's a Hindu or a Muslim or someone from China or wherever it is that God, the Holy Spirit is tweaking you and you felt that and you know that and is asking you to go and talk with them and be Christ to them? How do we respond to that? That may be where we are. I've never done hospitality. I'm not good at it. Pastor Matt did that whole series on a legacy of influence. We're influencing people to be fully followers of Jesus Christ. How do we do that unless we engage them in their lives? But most of us, especially us independent-minded Americans, I say that with pride, proud to be an American. But that independence can prevent us from reaching out to others that are around us. I don't have anything to offer. I don't speak well. Have we ever heard that before? Remember when Moses was just starting out and God said, hey, I want you to lead these people. And he said, I don't talk real good. That's not a slam on people from the South, by the way. I'm from the South. I'm okay. We're in good company. But you're right. We can't do it on our own. We come up with all kinds of excuses for why we don't respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we can make it sound pretty good. Even for me. The area director role is really not for me. That's not how I'm made. And so I take a step back and say, that's not. And I lose an opportunity for God to use me to influence people in a greater and broader way. When we were making the decision to come to the field, the idea of missions never entered our wheelhouse. We never thought about it. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I was in medical management for 15 years. That was my background. Jeannie was a counselor. And we were both are saying, Lord, take us to the mission field. And my idea of the mission field was, well, I've got to be on the street corner sharing the gospel every day. And so I've got to lay aside that experience that God has brought us through in order to go to the mission field and respond to what God's calling us to. So that whole management experience, that whole counseling experience goes by the wayside. You know what God's using in both Jeannie and I right now? I'm managing people and situations on a daily basis in a much broader way, in influencing way more people than I ever thought I ever would with the Occupational Medicine Division of NovaCare and influencing them towards the gospel. Jeannie is the Global Member Care Coordinator. She is coordinating counseling for missionaries all around the world. She was volunteering in a counseling center in Phnom Penh, Cambodia for the last 4 years. She served on that board. we never thought that we would be using the experiences and skills that God had given us in our careers on the mission field. And God says, is my arm too short? That's what he says. That was his answer. That was his answers to Moses, and that's also his answer to us. Is God's arm too short? Verse 23 says, the Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I will say will come true for you. Obviously, it's a figure of speech. It's not saying God's arm's too short. It's saying, do you really believe that same God who parted the Red Sea, who's given you manna, who's done this and who's done that, and you've experienced it firsthand, do you really believe that I'm not going to hold you in my right hand? Do you really believe I'm not going to be able to provide what I say I was going to provide? And how often do we function in that same mentality as it relates to situations and circumstances? God is saying, I want you to step out of your comfort zone into a situation that is beyond yourself. Because only God can do that through us. Well, we like to be comfortable. We like the norm. I'm not a change guy. I don't like it. But sometimes when God's asking us to step out of our comfort zone, change is what he's using to do that. And we can find that our influence, our legacy of influence grows because we become yielded to God. Is the Lord's arm too short? No, the Lord's arm is not too short. We have folks in Indonesia who, in the past, they have been tribal missionaries, meaning they fly into a tribe, translate the language, live there forever. That vision for that ministry in Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world, by the way, is shifting, and there's a migration happening into the population centers. And as a team, we've identified three or four or five different areas of people who are migrating into these areas that we need missionaries for. And by the end of next year, we're going to have one single lady that's serving in that country reaching out to this people group. We need somebody, some people that would say God's arm is not too short. And sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit and say, I want to learn the Indonesian language and reach the Indonesian people for Jesus Christ. And that could be you. We're looking to open a new field in Asia as well. It's got 160 million people that have not heard of Jesus Christ. It's a true unreached people group. Poverty. Huge needs. Refugee crisis is along the border. But we need people, but we're not there. We're looking to open that field. That's a part of my role as the Asia Area Director is open new field. It's new for me. It's out of my comfort zone. But I need some people that will say, God's arm is not too short. And I'm sensing the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to respond to that. What does it look like? I don't know. We come up with all kinds of excuses. Maybe it's not the jump to the mission field. But you have a great opportunities here at this church. Maybe it is a learning community. You've never done that before, but this year I'm going to take a step out of my comfort zone and I'm going to get involved in a learning community. Maybe I'm going to practice hospitality that we talked about last week, and I'm going to invite my neighbors, particularly those that don't necessarily look like me. Talk to Greg and Jane Drebus, Refuge for the Poor. If you have a heart for the poor and want to minister to them with an eye on the gospel and seeing them come to Jesus Christ, talk to Greg and Jane and see if you might be able to be a part of the ministry that they have. Reach out to Jim and Carolyn Gabriels, Joel Stewart, who's with us today, and ask them about the Plaprai ministry that's happening in Prebihia. And Is there a way that you can be involved in that in some way? Chelsea Cooper, Tom and Alicia Vosters, all your missionaries, they would love to get an email from you that says, I'm just curious as to what you're doing, what your ministry is, and I'd like to be praying more intentionally for you. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. One of the best ways that you can impact missions is to actually be on your knees before the Father on behalf of what's going on around the world. Pray, pray. There's opportunities all over the place. I'm going to share a couple with you very quickly. August 10th, there's a flyer was handed to me that says, Reaching Your Hindu Neighbors. People that we work with, go to school with, or whatever. The Hindus who live next door study with our children. They work beside us. We have opportunities that no missionary will ever have to share our faith with them, but most of us have no idea how to begin. Maybe this is something, if you know people that from the Hindu background, but have struggled with how to do that effectively, maybe this is something that would you could tap into. We had breakfast with Bob and Connie Wood this week, and you know, if you want to talk about people who have a missions heart right here at home, talk to Bob and Connie. But there's an urban missions conference where people have a heart for people that are in the city. Missionaries right here in Philadelphia. Various opportunities in order to share. That missions conference is October 7th through the 9th. If you have more questions, ask Bob and Connie about that. They're over there. Wave. Yeah. They're the experts. There's opportunities for you. But there's a responsibility that we each have in that. And that takes us to the last verse, and then we'll wrap up and close. Verse 24 says, So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand before the tent. He didn't just do that willy-nilly, by the way. If you go back to verse 18, it's what God told him to do. Consecrate yourselves in preparation tomorrow. If you look up above, he says, gather the elders together. Well, what was Moses doing in response to God's answer to his complaint? He says, is my arm too short? And how did Moses respond? Did he go back and start complaining? Oh, no, I could never do that. No, I think it was a reminder that God's arm is not too short, and he responded in obedience. So God asked me to do something. It's out of my comfort zone. It's in that I could never do it arena, but I'm going to respond in obedience anyways because the prompting of the Holy Spirit is pushing me that direction. And that may be where you are today. I don't know. What's our response? What's that? Where's Holy Spirit nudging you? My prayer is that there are some in this room are feeling a nudge that international missions abroad, wherever that may be and whoever that may be with, the Lord's tapping you on the shoulder. That's my prayer today. And there are some that are there and you're hearing that Holy Spirit going, and you're going, no way, I can never do that. Don't say it. Don't say I could never. Because we read today that God's arm's not too short. Whatever that may be, I don't know. But it begins with reminding ourselves of who God is. Powerful, almighty, creator of the universe, sustainer of the universe. The scriptures say that he is omnipotent, almighty. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. That means, as that same passage indicates in Psalm 139, whether I'm on this side of the sea or on the far side of the sea, God's right hand will hold me fast. Do I really believe it's true? So if I would say in this arena, do you believe God is all-powerful? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I have no doubt I'm going to have 100% that say I believe it. Here's the question I'll leave with you is, are you living like that statement is true? When people look at your lives, They know that you believe God is almighty, all-powerful, and will hold you. But are you living like it's true? Are you responding into obedience to the nudging of the Holy Spirit to be hospitable to that Muslim neighbor, that Hindu neighbor, that neighbor who is really loud, whatever it may be? I don't know. But it begins with reminding ourselves of who God is in our lives. Let me read some statements about what God says, who God says he is. And in Exodus 3, he says, I am who I am. Moses was asking, he says, how should I talk about you? When people say, what's your name? What should I say? And he says, I am who I am. Who is this I am? He says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not be afraid. I am with you and will bless you. Exodus 15 says, I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 20, I am the Lord your God who rescued you. Exodus 22, I am compassionate and merciful. Psalms, be still and know that I am God and will be honored by every nation. Isaiah 41, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and hold you up with my victorious right hand. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone from my hand. I am the Lord. I do not change. Two questions. Do you believe what God says about himself? His arm's not too short. And second question, do you live like you believe it's true? Father, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that you allow us as believers in Jesus Christ to experience that power through the gift of your son, Jesus. And Lord, my heartfelt prayer today is if there are those here that don't know Jesus personally and through Jesus Christ know their Father in heaven, I pray that today would be the day. I pray, Lord, for those that are sitting in their seats today and feeling a nudging of the Holy Spirit towards something that is beyond themselves. Lord, I pray for an obedient response in that. And I pray, Lord, that each of us, no matter where that next step is on our journey, that we will begin by recognizing who you are. And that is the great I am. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.